Assalamu alaikum students. On behalf of the Virtual University of Pakistan, Ministry of Science and Technology, and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to another lecture in financial management. In this lecture, we are going to continue our discussion of working capital financing, and then we are going to talk in general about financing, long-term financing, as well as a very, very popular and common form of financing that has picked up in Pakistan, and that is lease financing. So let me begin by giving you an idea of just how important working capital financing is. It's been estimated that most financial managers in companies spend more than half of their time on the subject of working capital financing. In other words, how to arrange for the money and the funds in order to buy the day-to-day things like inventory, raw material supplies, and miscellaneous expenses. So this is a very, very important function. Now, we need to make some sort of a categorization for the different kind of debt that we talk about. We have been talking about debt right from the beginning of this course. And at this point, I would like to make a distinction between permanent debt and temporary debt. Permanent debt is basically debt that is for a duration of greater than 1 year. In fact, we need to not just talk about debt, but talk about financing as a whole. Remember, when we're talking about financing, when we're using this word financing, we are open to the idea of raising money in the form of debt or in the form of equity. So if we talk about permanent financing, then in permanent financing we include permanent debt as well as permanent equity. Now, equity is, by our definition, permanent. So by permanent debt, we are talking about loans, bonds, and other form of debt that has a life of more than 1 year. If the duration of the loan is 2 years or 3 years, 5 or 10 years, then it comes in the category of permanent debt. Similarly, when we are talking about common shares and common equity, preferred shares, then we are talking about permanent financing again, because equity is permanent. Of course, you will recall that we were evaluating whether it is better to use equity or debt, and we did that in terms of the cost of equity and the cost of debt when we were studying capital structure. Generally speaking, from the investor's point of view, equity is more risky. But from the firm's point of view, that is issuing the equity, equity is less risky because the firm does not have to pay any interest. When they raise money by selling shares to investors, then they don't have to pay a fixed and regular amount of interest. So there is no interest-related risk when a firm issues equity. But by the same token, the cost of equity for a firm is generally higher than the cost of debt. In other words, the required rate of return that shareholders expect is generally higher than the interest rate on bank loans. Why? Because the shareholders and investors feel that investing in the company in the form of equity is more risky than if they gave a loan to the company, because if they gave a loan, they would be guaranteed a certain fixed amount of interest. Okay, now let's talk about the new and more interesting character in our story, and that is the temporary financing. Temporary financing includes two types of financing. One of them is what we have been talking about earlier, working capital financing. That is an example of short-term financing. Short-term financing can include loans from banks that are less than 1 year in duration. So 3 month loans, 1 month loans, 6 month loans, even commercial paper that is issued by major strong firms in order to raise debt capital can be considered short-term financing. Now, of course, the advantage of short-term financing is that it's a lot easier to get a short-term loan from a bank than a long-term loan, because there are a lot of financial statements and guarantees that need to be given in order to get a long-term loan. But to get a short-term loan is relatively easier. Also, if we are talking about a normal situation where there is an upward sloping yield curve, then the interest rate on a short-term loan will generally be lower than the interest rate on a long-term loan. The disadvantage of short-term loans is that you have to keep renewing them. So you cannot be sure of getting as low an interest rate next year as you did this year. So there's an uncertainty and a risk element attached to short-term loans. There is another kind of temporary financing, and that is called the spontaneous financing. Now, let's talk about this interesting character called spontaneous financing. Well, you are familiar with this because this is what we were talking about in working capital financing when we mentioned the accounts payable and trade debts and, for example, taxes payable. In other words, money that you need to pay but that you have not paid yet. This is free credit. It's a free loan that you're getting from your suppliers who you have not paid yet in the form of accounts payable. This is temporary free money that you have at no cost. For example, if you are collecting sales tax on behalf of the government of Pakistan, if you're a restaurant, then you have to deposit the sales tax at the 10th date of the next month. You collect the sales revenue and the sales tax on behalf, you collect the sales revenue yourself, you collect the sales tax, the GST, for the government of Pakistan, and you keep it. And you pay the government of Pakistan in the next month on the 10th. So, you are holding this amount of money that belongs to the government of Pakistan, and for that period of time, you can use it for emergency expenses, as long as you pay the government of Pakistan by the 10th of the next month. So, this is a very, very important way of financing because it's got no cost of debt. Spontaneous financing, in other words, credit that you have managed to obtain from the market, from your suppliers, from the government, etc., is free money. Of course, there are no guarantees how much you will have available at any time. You have a rough idea that this is roughly my account receivable at any month, but you can't be sure of having them. So you can't depend on this to meet your expenses. Okay, the next important thing to understand regarding financing is that there is a fundamental trade-off taking place. And that fundamental trade-off can be linked to the risk and return trade-off that we spoke about in risk theory. Everything is connected in financial management. There's a logical progression. There is a risk-return trade-off how? Well, in this sense that there is a trade-off between liquidity and lack of liquidity is a measure of risk. If a firm is illiquid, in other words, if it does not have enough current assets to meet its short-term obligations, it is illiquid. Therefore, the firm is risky. There is a trade-off between this illiquidity risk and profitability. And profitability is a measure of return. So there is a risk-return trade-off. In other words, if you get more of one, you will get less of the other. That's what trade-off means. You can't have the best of both. Now, what do we mean specifically? If a company has a large amount of current assets, then it has a low amount of risk because it is liquid. But it has a high cost. Why? Because there's money that is tied up in current assets and is being wasted. So it's a high cost and a low profitability, risk-return trade-off. Similarly, if a firm has low current assets, then it has a high amount of risk because it is keeping low inventories and it may not be able to meet its sales orders. But although it has a high risk, it has also a high profitability. Why? Because very little amount of its money is tied up in current assets. Now, there is another aspect to this risk-return trade-off for financing, and that is between using long-term financing and using the current liabilities or spontaneous financing. If a firm decides to use long-term financing, then generally the cost of financing is higher than spontaneous financing. You have to pay interest, and that is the cost of debt. So the cost of long-term financing is higher than spontaneous financing. But even though the cost is higher, the risk of long-term financing is lower in the sense that you can be sure that you have access to this money for a long period of time. When you get a long-term loan for 5 years, you've got it for 5 years. And you need to pay the bank back after 5 years. But if the firm is using current liabilities as a source of spontaneous financing, they might be in trouble. Why? Because there is a risk. 1 month they might have a high amount of accounts payable. Another month they may not. So it is not a reliable source of financing. It is risky. There's a high risk with this spontaneous financing. But the advantages and the reason why everybody tries to use this mode of financing in business is that there is no cost attached to it. If you can use the money of your supplier without paying him, then nothing like it, because there is no cost attached to it. But it's a risky proposition, because if you keep following this practice, after a few months or after a year, you will have so much of account payables that you may not be able to pay them back, and you might go bankrupt. Okay. Now let's talk about the next area, and that is related to the amount of liquidity that a firm should keep and how much liquidity, short-term funds, should a firm have available at any time, and how much long-term financing should a firm have available. How do firms decide if they have, let's say, if they need to raise 100 rupees of debt or loans, how much of this 100 rupees should be long-term loans and how much should be short-term loans? How does a firm decide this? Well, the answer is quite logical. And the answer is given to us in the form of the hedging principle. Now, this is the same word that you find in the garden, the same hedge. It's the same hedging principle. I haven't figured out a link between the garden hedge and this hedging principle, but the idea is basically to match the maturities. To match the maturities of the assets to the source of financing. In other words, according to the hedging principle, what needs to be done is the firms need to figure out what is the duration of time for which they need to use the asset. How long do you need to use the asset? Supposing that you are talking about inventory or raw material that you just need to use for 1 month. After that time, the raw material will convert into the finished product and you would sell it and you would get money for it. So you just need the life of the raw material for your purposes is 1 month. Therefore, the right kind of financing to get for the raw material with a life of 1 month is a short-term loan of 1 month. That simple. match the maturity of the source of financing to the life or the usage of the asset. For example, if we are talking about shopkeeper who is expecting an Eid rush at the time of Eid, then he needs extra inventory, slightly extra inventory, because he expects all the ladies and children to come and buy his shoes. Now, in order to finance this extra inventory, this spontaneous increase in the current assets, the best thing he should do is, if he does not have the money himself, or if he does not have retained earnings, is to get short-term loan for 1 month. If he decides to get a one-year loan for this, then what will he do with the money? He has to pay interest on the money. But this money is sitting idle. So he's better off getting a one-month loan, because he's only getting it for Eid. And Eid does not happen every month. So there is no point keeping this extra money and not using it. Remember, if he's getting money from a bank, since we are good Pakistani citizens, we plan to pay this money back. If we plan to pay the money back, there is no point taking money that you cannot use to generate a rate of return that is higher than the interest you are paying. Give the money back. Now, this principle is also known as the principle of self-liquidating debt. Same thing as the hedging principle. Another way to understand this is that permanent assets should be financed by permanent financing, and temporary assets should be bought by temporary financing. Now, I have already spoken about temporary and permanent financing. Let me explain permanent and temporary assets. Permanent assets are assets that the firm will use for more than 1 year. Their economic life can be less, or their economic life can be more. But it depends on how long the firm is using them. What I mean by this is that permanent assets includes not only the fixed assets on the balance sheet, but also a portion of the current assets that are in use for more than 1 year. Temporary assets are those that are in use for less than 1 year. And temporary assets are generally always a subset or a smaller part of the current assets. Now, the principle was, buy the permanent asset using permanent financing. Permanent financing is what kind of financing? It is financing whose life is longer than 1 year, such as long-term loan or equity. And the principle says that buy the temporary assets. Temporary assets can include spontaneous inventory, inventory that is in use for less than 1 year. Buy that, acquire that using temporary financing. Temporary financing is either short-term loans, short-term financing, or spontaneous financing using the accounts payable and the current liabilities. So this is why it's called the hedging principle. The word hedging in financing is used to talk about hedging or covering yourself or protecting yourself. And in this sense, you are protecting your ability to repay the bank by taking into account the life of the cash flows of the asset. So let me explain what I mean by the permanent financing taking care of the permanent assets and the temporary financing taking care of the temporary assets. Let's take a simple example of a person who owns a studio and he needs to buy a state-of-the-art digital Sony video camera. Now, these cameras are expensive. They can cost as much as 15 lakh rupees, 1.5 million rupees. So what will he do? Now, before he can make this decision, he needs to have some idea of the life of this economic asset. How long does he think this camera will last? Well, I'm not an expert in this, but I think the life of these cameras can be as much as 10 years, but certainly over 5 years. So we're talking about an economic asset whose life is relatively long. It is longer than 1 year. The life, we are assuming, is over 5 years. And the camera costs 1.5 million rupees. So the amount is not small. Now, based on the investment that he needs to make and the life of the asset, he can get some idea of the payback period. Remember the payback criteria from capital budgeting. How long does it take for the investor to recover his money? So maybe, let's suppose it takes the owner 2 years to recover his money. The payback period is 2 years. What kind of financing should he use? Well, the answer now is straightforward, because this classifies as a permanent asset. Its life and its usage is more than 1 year. Its payback period is also more than 1 year. It will take more than 1 year of cash flows. It will take more than 1 year of revenue generated by the camera for the owner to recover his investment. Therefore, if he takes a loan, the life of the loan should also be more than 1 year, because it will take him that amount of time to generate the money from this camera to repay the bank. How do you generate money from cameras? Well, of course, you are using the cameras to make video software. You sell the software to the television stations and various marketing agencies, and you receive money. So the camera is generating money in that sense. But the important point to understand is you have to know how long will the asset generate cash flows. If you are getting financing, short-term financing, to buy this camera, then you will have to repay the loan before you have generated enough cash from the camera to repay the bank. And you'll be stuck. You'll have a cash shortfall. So now we are in a better position to understand what I spoke about in the previous lecture regarding the working capital financing policies. You'll remember that I mentioned that the total assets can be defined as the sum of the fixed or permanent assets plus the current permanent assets, the permanent portion of the current assets. Current assets and inventory that will be in use for more than 1 year, plus, finally, the temporary current assets. Temporary means less than 1 year. So we can define the total assets in this way. And this will help us to decide what kind of financing the firm should use for each of the three different kinds of assets. And you will recall that we spoke about the moderate policy. In the moderate policy, which generally firms follow, what they try to do is they finance the fixed assets, land, building, warehouse, and other fixed assets, machinery, using permanent financing, long-term loans, equity. And they also use permanent financing to finance the permanent portion of the current assets. The current assets have a permanent portion. The permanent current assets are those assets or inventory that will be in use for more than 1 year. And you can use permanent financing to finance those kind of assets. So the only kind of asset that is financed by temporary financing or short-term loans or current liabilities is the spontaneous portion of the current assets. This is what a moderate policy firm does. And then, of course, we mentioned the aggressive working capital financing policy, and in that case, you use short-term financing primarily. You overuse short-term financing. You use short-term financing not only for the temporary current assets, but also for the permanent portion of the current assets. Finally, for the conservative working capital financing policy, the firm uses long-term financing primarily. They use long-term financing for the fixed assets, the permanent assets, the permanent portion of the current assets, and even a small portion of the temporary current assets. So we have been speaking about working capital financing, and it is one kind of short-term financing. Short-term financing includes short-term loans, loans that are less than 1 year. And remember that it's not easy to get loans, because if you need to get a loan, you need to give a security, oftentimes, generally speaking. You need to give some sort of collateral or security. You need to pledge an asset with the bank as a security. Other types of short-term financing includes commercial paper, debt notes that are issued by strong, large, multinational corporations. These are also generally less than 1 year. Now let's talk about long-term financing. Long-term financing includes, for example, bonds that we spent a great deal of time on earlier. Bonds are basically legal pieces of paper that represent debt, long-term debt, generally speaking, more than 1 year. And there is a coupon interest payment attached to a bond. Bonds are traded in the financial markets, publicly traded. There is another form of long-term debt known as long-term bank loans. They are not generally publicly traded in the market. They are negotiated one-to-one between the bank and the borrower. There is a unique agreement, a loan agreement that is signed between the borrower and the lender. So these bank loans, if they are to be classified as long-term debt, are generally more than 1 year. There are various other types of long-term financing schemes, and let me just go over a couple of them. One of them is known as the syndicated loans. Here, a group of banks get together to finance a very, very large project. If the amount involved is very large, in billions of rupees, then one bank may not be able to take the entire liability, because their portfolio does not allow them to take this risk. So they might form a team of banks and share the financing amongst them. There is another form of long-term financing called project financing. Project financing is been used very actively in large infrastructure projects. Development of highways, dams, development of electric power plants. And in this case, generally, a group of companies get together and they decide that they want to set up a new project, maybe a new power plant. So they set up a new legal entity, a new company that will manage the power plant. Then they approach a bank or a group of banks, a syndicate of banks, and they ask them for money, for debt financing. The bank will evaluate the proposal and decide to give money for this new project, in the name of the new project. And what will the bank get in return? They will receive interest. From what? From the cash flows that are generated by this new project only. They will only get their interest from the cash flows generated by this project. They may not have the collateral or the security of getting possession of the assets that belong to this new project, and certainly they do not have any claims on the assets of the different companies that have formed this new company for running the electric power plant. So how does the bank protect itself? It says to the companies that they will control the cash flows. All cash inflows, all revenue will be controlled by the bank. First, they will take out their own interest. They will recover their interest that is due to them, and then they will allow the companies to manage the cash as they want. This is project financing, and it takes various other forms. The final aspect of long-term financing I should mention here is one that is becoming very popular, also because of technology and because of the globalization of financial markets. And I'll try to cover international finance by the time this course is over. This trend is known as securitization. Securitization is the conversion of let's say, a private bank loan between one company and a bank into a publicly traded security or instrument, such as a bond. And how do you do this? Simply, you take the loan between company XYZ and the bank, and if the company is servicing the loan well, and if it has a moderate, limited amount of risk, then you can convert this one legal agreement and chop it up into little parts. Supposing this loan was for 1 million rupees, you can chop it up into 1,000 parts of 1,000 rupees each, and then you can make some kind of a bond, securitized loan instrument, and you can try to market and sell it in the financial market. So now, this loan paper will be distributed and divided in the public. This is securitization. Very, very powerful trend, and it has been incorporated in the equity framework under the Islamic financing schemes, very, very creatively as well. Now, generally speaking, what factors affect the long-term financing decision for a company? What do financial managers look at when they're trying to decide whether or not to get long-term loans from a bank, for example? First and foremost, capital structure. We spend many lectures talking about capital structure. There is a certain ideal target or a optimum capital structure that the firm's financial managers can calculate. And their actual capital structure may be different. So they're always in the process of trying to approach the optimum capital structure. And that's not a smooth process. It doesn't happen in one day or in a week. Trying to bring your actual capital structure to match the optimum or the best capital structure can take days, weeks, or months. Because you can't just get a loan from a bank at the drop of a hat. That's one factor. Another factor, of course, is maturity matching, which I just spoke about in the hedging principle. They try to get long-term financing in order to finance long-term or permanent assets. A third factor, which is critical, is the market interest rates. We spoke about interest rates very early on in the course. Interest rates are determined by various factors, including liquidity premium, inflation, and risk premiums associated with the country, and maturity, and so on. So when interest rates, particularly long-term interest rates, are low, then firms are more agreeable to the idea of long-term financing because their interest costs are low. Finally, another very important factor in this decision is the financial health and credit worthiness of the company. Firms will try to get long-term financing, oftentimes, as soon as they think that they are in a strong financial position. Because firms may not always be in a strong financial position. Their financial health varies with the life of the company. So whenever they think they're healthy financially, they will approach the bank and try to get a long-term loan that will keep them going through thick and thin in the future. So now, let's switch gears again and move to a very, very popular and specialized form of financing that is known as lease financing, leasing. There are lots and lots of leasing companies that have opened up in Pakistan just over the last 6 or 7 years after the capital market reforms that took place in the 90s. Now, leasing companies are in the business of leasing assets. And what is the basic principle behind leasing? Well, generally, we are talking about the area of fixed assets, generally speaking. The basic principle is that you need to make a distinction between owning something and controlling something. Simply speaking, if you live in a rented house, you are controlling the house. You're using the house. You're using the house to live in, to eat food, to entertain people, bring guests, to park your car. You're using the house. You're controlling it. But it is a rented house. You don't own it. So there's a difference between ownership and control. In the case of leasing, the leasing company or the bank buys the asset and owns it. But you, as the borrower, use the asset. So the leasing company, also known as the lessor, L-E-S-S-O-R, buys and owns the asset for you. But you use and operate the asset. Now, leasing has become very popular, and it is estimated that maybe as much as 15-20% of the assets in large companies are under lease financing. It's a very practical form of financing and can be quite cost-effective also. Now, it's important also to keep in mind that lease financing can be quite risky because in many ways it is like a collateralized loan. It is like a loan agreement. And the borrower is bound by the same restrictions. If you do not pay the lease rental, which is like the interest that you pay on a loan, if you don't pay that on time, you will be declared a defaulter. And the leasing company can take the asset back from you. In fact, if the value of the asset is not enough, they can also recover the money by seizing other assets or possibly by penalizing you to pay 1 year's worth of lease rental. So there is a risk attached to entering into a leasing agreement. And there's a chance that somebody might be declared a defaulter and have to face bankruptcy. So now the first decision we need to make is whether the firm or the individual should lease the asset or whether they should buy the asset. Assuming, of course, you have money to buy the asset. If you have money to buy the asset, then you have two choices. You can still need to decide whether it's better to invest your money out of the pocket and buy the asset. Now your money is blocked. Or whether it is better to use someone else's money, the leasing company's money, in order to buy the asset. Of course, if you didn't have the money, then you have the choice of getting short or long-term loan from a bank or using lease financing. So how do firms generally decide when to use lease financing? In other words, we are looking at it from the point of view of the lessee, the person or the company that has obtained lease financing. Or in other words, in some ways you can consider the lessee or the person who is, or the company that has obtained the lease financing to be the borrower. Generally speaking, industries that are cyclical, highly cyclical, whose sales revenue patterns fluctuate very, very widely with time. For example, cyclical industries are many, but particularly the airline industry is very cyclical. When there is a recession in the airline industry, it is really severe, and it's enough to wipe out companies. We saw an example of this following September 11th. Numerous airline companies went belly up and bankrupt. So they're very cyclical. And in these kind of industries, it's very risky for the owners and the companies to invest their own equity or their retained earnings in such a large investment, because airplanes cost in hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's very, very risky for companies or individuals to invest their personal equity. And it is even very risky for them to get the bank loans if they are more costly. So oftentimes they will prefer to get leases, and airplanes are generally acquired on leases, oftentimes called wet leases. Another area where lease financing has become very popular is the high-tech industry. In the high-tech industry, internet companies, B2B, B2C companies, software houses that use state-of-the-art computer hardware, it makes sense to use lease financing because the technology becomes obsolete very, very quickly. point is that there is a faster and a better computer being made probably every few months. This machine that you see here, the laptop that I have, is obsolete. So in this high-tech industry, it makes sense to use lease financing because companies don't have to invest their personal money in buying computer hardware or some other high-technology machinery that will become obsolete in just a few months. Then what will they do? They'll be stuck. They'll have to try to sell this machinery, which might have very limited number of users or buyers, and they will face a cash crunch, and they will become inefficient compared to other companies that are able to buy the faster and more efficient equipment or technology. A third reason why companies prefer to choose lease financing is when the demand for their products or services is very uncertain. Because if the demand for their product or service is uncertain, then the economic life of the equipment is also uncertain. And when there is an uncertainty in the economic life of the asset that you need to acquire, it's better to go for lease financing, because in certain kind of leases, you can terminate the lease and return the asset to the leasing company. Finally, the last element is that oftentimes lessees prefer to have gone for lease financing rather than a bank loan, because in certain type of leases, the leasing company not only provides the financing, but they also provide the maintenance cost and servicing for the equipment, which can be at a discount rate compared to outside service support centers and other maintenance agencies. So in other words, in many cases, for example, IBM was one of the founders of the operating lease. They not only supplied you with the IBM computer on credit in the form of lease financing, but they also supplied the maintenance and servicing contract for the computers. I would like to stop the lecture right here. Thank you for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Virtual University of Pakistan, Ministry of Science and Technology aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se bahut bahut shukriya. Khuda hafiz aur assalamu alaikum.